Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, October 8, 2018. South Sudan's first vice president says the leaders of his country have learned a lesson.
This peace will work this time. We say the attitude of the leaders have to change. People learn through experiences, and we have a wealth of experiences. We know where we were wrong as leaders to the country. This time we are very serious.
And political detainees inside the National Security Headquarters speak out for the first time.
Well, myself, I've been arrested for the last 6 months now, and I'm not being taken on trial. So 2 months down the line when I was arrested, a group of armed men walked into my cell at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they wanted to drag me out, and I resist. I fought back.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's first vice president, Taban Deng Gai, says his trip to the United States was successful. But Gai acknowledges that a lot of Americans are skeptical about South Sudan's September 12 peace agreement. He says the South Sudanese leaders have agreed to work together for stability in South Sudan. He believes his meetings with influential Americans in Washington will change the perception towards South Sudan.
Yeah, as you are aware, I came to represent my president, His Excellency General Salva Kiir Mayardit, in the General Assembly. I delivered the country statement, and I have a number of meetings in the UN in New York. Also, I came to Washington to have a meeting here. I had a discussion in the Atlantic Council, and this is my third time to have a discussion in the Atlantic Council. I have meetings in the World Bank, meeting in the Senate with Senator Johnny Isaac. I have meeting in the State Department and in the White House. Mm-hmm. All of these meetings, they all went well. People are wishing good to South Sudan. Mm-hmm. They want peace to work this time.
Some of the people that you have spoken to, what are they telling you?
There's a lot of skepticism. Mm-hmm. Not many people believe that this peace will work, because as you know, I don't know, this is peace number what that we have signed in the Republic of South Sudan. So there's a lot of doubt, and our work is to allay those fears. We have given the reason why we think this peace will work this time. We say the attitude of the leaders have to change. People learn through experiences, and we have a wealth of experiences. We know where we were wrong as leaders to the country. This time we are very serious for this peace to work. Second is that this peace has many stakeholders. It is a very accommodative peace. It brought on board many swing groups, many political parties, civil societies, women group, youth. So many people are involved in the process of the implementation of this peace.
And people have been saying that it's the same actors. You're saying many people are involved and, you know, it's now all inclusive. But these are the same people who disagreed in 2015 or 2016. So what is new this time?
Yes, you are correct to say that these are the same actors. And these are the current leadership of the country. You don't have how do you replace them? Because these are the people who are leading the government, people who are in opposition. They have imposed themselves. You have no mechanism of replacing them now. The new thing is that they have accepted to work together. The government have accepted to receive back Riek Machar as first vice president. We are going to have six people in the presidency, from president to the vice president, which are five, including Riek Machar. So these leaders, they disagree, and they have accepted to work together to forgive themselves, to open a new page. Yeah, these are the leaders. You know, country must have a leadership.
That's Taban Deng Gai, South Sudan's first vice president, speaking with me over the weekend in Arlington, Virginia, before he traveled back to South Sudan via Dubai. The South Sudan government says a hostage crisis that broke out early Sunday in the capital has been resolved peacefully. About 20 prisoners in the country's national security headquarters broke into a store in the prison where weapons are kept and held two unarmed guards hostage. The prisoners told VOA they did not want to cause violence, but simply wanted the government and the world to hear their concerns. Ateny Wek Ateny, the spokesman for South Sudan's President Salva Kiir, denies the inmates are political detainees. He says most of them are soldiers and claims the prison is used to hold a station for criminals awaiting trial.
This is a crisis that was quickly resolved, and all the prisoners have returned to their normal position.
What happened?
A prisoner, one of the national security officers, who is a captain by the rank, called Cardino Wall, he's actually locked up for administrative reason because he's an officer and has committed a crime that made him to be locked up. So at 1 o'clock in the morning, he led the guard on the premises that he was sick. So the guard came in to help him. In a state of being helped, he snatched with some other prisoners. He snatched the gun from the guard. They have used that gun to also capture other guns from the other guards who were actually sleeping. And therefore, those who were sleeping were all, you know, just got themselves being ordered to give up their guns or being shot.
One account said that as many as 400 prisoners were there in that prison. If that is the case, you are holding prisoners. Is that correct? Political prisoners also?
That's a complete lie. Even the facility itself is very small. It cannot even carry, practically cannot even carry more than 200 or 150. Cannot take it. The facility is very small. And this is, it has been used, this place as a transit point for the criminals who are actually answering cases of a crime they committed. And most of them are soldiers who do not actually necessarily fall within the category of what you call the political detainee.
I asked the question about the political prisoners because one claim, at least what I've read, is that these prisoners carry out what they did because they were demanding the release of political prisoners. Is that the case?
No, that's not the case completely. You know, even in America, James, if in a maximum prison, if a criminal of a terrorist nature decided to get the opportunity and seize a gun of the guard and try to demand their release, I don't think the American authorities will actually cooperate with such criminals. Even now, they have even increased their crime by trying to escape by using full force of arms. Miraculously, the bloodshed was avoided, but the crime has been committed. Even more crime has been committed by the prisoners who have actually participated in the process of trying to escape by force. So no country in the world that would accept this. You would not call it political. This is purely criminal and will be dealt with by the law. South Sudan has no political prisoners. The political prisoners that qualify to be political prisoners have been all released. Who have remained are this type, are the type of these who wanted to force their way out, you know, without due process of the law.
That's presidential spokesman Ateny Wek Ateny speaking with VOA's James Batty from Juba. The eight-hour-long standoff between prisoners and South Sudan's military and security officials ended peacefully yesterday, and prisoners are now asking for ICRC to step in and lead negotiations between the detainees and the government. Ayendeng Bior has more from Washington.
South Sudan in Focus obtained audio from a source that does not want to be identified for fear of reprisal. In the clip, you can hear Kerbina Wool, who has been in prison since late April, request access to a lawyer.
We request an access to our family and to our lawyers. That's what we request. We also request to be detained back, all of us together.
We apologize for the poor quality of the audio. But in it, you can hear Wool say they were assured the prisoners would be detained together in the same prison, but they do not know the validity of that assurance. He says they are vulnerable, and they requested help from the ICRC, adding their phones may be taken away, and it could be hard to reach them. Wool also mentions a meeting with Mr. Ayor, and says he and Peter Biar Ajok and Abraham Ajok will go to that meeting. On Sunday morning local time, Wool said about 200 armed prisoners were protesting long jail times without access to lawyers. They were demanding due process and asked the president to keep his promise and release all political prisoners. Presidential spokesman Atenua Katen categorically denied Wall's accusations.
That's a complete lie. Even the facility itself is very small. It cannot even carry, practically cannot even carry more than 200 or 150. It cannot take it. The facility is very small, and this is, it has been used, this place as a transit point for the criminals who are actually answering cases of a crime they committed. And most of them are soldiers who do not actually necessarily fall within the category of what you call the political detainees.
Last month, President Salva Kiir ordered the release of all prisoners of war and detainees in accordance with the revitalized peace agreement. Wall and other prisoners interviewed downplayed the significance of that announcement, saying the president has made such pronouncements before. One prisoner called the decree false. Ayan Dengbior, VOA News, Washington.
South Sudan in Focus conducted an exclusive interview with some of the prisoners at the National Security Headquarters over the weekend. My colleague Ayan Dengbior spoke with Karbino Wall, who was arrested in April and has yet to be charged with any crime. He explains what triggered the standoff inside the Blue House.
This evening, we had some people came in with their eyes closed with mats and they wanted to pick some of us. And this has been happening for months. So we retaliate. We say none of us is going to be picked again. We're asking fair justice. So we break into the arms store. The 200 of us is all armed. We took over the half of the national security, and we are all being surrounded by the heavy forces and the tank.
Could you just explain to listeners who don't know what it means? What does it mean to be picked at night with the prisoner with eyes closed? Could you just explain that to someone who may not understand?
Well, myself, I've been arrested for the last 6 months now, and I'm not being taken on trial. So 2 months down the line, when I was arrested, a group of armed men walked into my cell at 2 o'clock in the morning. And they want to drag me out, and I resist. I fought back, and they could not manage to pick me at night. But this has been happening for years in the detentions.
When they pick you at night, what happens to you?
You get killed. You don't come back.
And now earlier you said that there was about 200 of you. Is that correct?
It's 200 of us. There's this, some of us are armed personnel. Some are politicals. We have foreign nationals, and we have civilians. We have about 400 in the entire prisons, but 200 is...
And what are you armed with?
We're armed with the Kalashnikov and submachine guns.
Where did you...
AK-47s.
Where did you get these weapons?
We broke into the store, the prison's store, where the arms are all stored. We broke in and we armed ourselves.
Could you describe the scene? What is going on right at this moment?
What's going on right now, we just took all our defense positions. We just took cover in the entire prisons. They're trying to shoot so we can retaliate and respond, but we don't want to shoot. We just want to ask for fair justice. We want our day, I mean, tomorrow morning, we'll ask the government and authority. 400 of us been arrested for 5 years, detained without trial, is unconstitutional and illegal. And we're asking for fair justice. That's what we're asking.
Karbino, tell me a little bit about yourself. When were you arrested? How long have you been arrested?
I was arrested on the 27th of April, and I was accused of plotting a coup and plotting assassinations. And that was not true. I'm just arrested, there's no evidence, and I was not taken to the court. I'm just being detained. And that's the same as to some of my colleagues here that are also political detainees.
Have you been given access to a lawyer?
I'm not being access to a lawyer. I'm denied access to my loved one, to my family, to my friends and lawyers. I'm just being detained.
That's Karbino Wall, one of the detainees inside the Blue House at the National Security Headquarters in Juba, speaking with Ayan Dengbior on Saturday. South Sudanese activist Peter Bier Ajak was among the detainees inside the National Security Headquarters on Saturday. Bier was arrested on July 28. Several U.S. lawmakers and activists have been demanding for his release. Again, my colleague Ayan Dengbior got hold of Bier to describe conditions inside the national security facilities.
That there are a lot of people here that have been detained for a number of months. Some have even been detained for more than a year. And there has never been any court cases. And we keep hearing that prisoners have been released. Recently, there has been a government propaganda that they have released 20 prisoners. And this is actually something that took place more than 2 months ago. So this has been bringing all sort of rumors inside the prison about what is going on outside. And there has been lack of clear information about what is going on. So as a result of the lack of clear information and the rumors that are going on and the desperation to which many of prisoners are fell into, this kind of actions emerge. This is basically how things are. These are young people, they are frustrated, they are tight, they feel that they have no justice in their own country, and that they fear that the government may be planning certain things that are not to be a good.
Peter, people have been campaigning, even here in the U.S., for your release. Thinking about, you know, the situation that you're in right now with the standoff, I understand that there's about 200 prisoners, some armed, some unarmed. And knowing that, you know, all this work has been done to either get you released or, you know, get you in front of a judge, what is going on through your head right now?
Yeah, my main worry is about the safety of everybody that is here. Of course, the situation is quite delicate, and it's quite unfortunate that things have turned out to be in this case. Of course, I've been getting briefed about the campaign that is going on about my release. But mind you, I'm not the only prisoner that is here. There are a lot of prisoners that are here, and many have been detained for years, and no one has been speaking on their behalf. And some of these people, they feel frustrated. They feel that they're not being listened to, they're not being heard. And as a result, they took these kind of actions. So the way I look at this action is a result of frustration of how these young people are feeling. Their case are not being heard, they're not being brought before a judge. Some people have never even appeared before a committee to investigate them. So they feel that no one is listening to them, and as a result, they feel that they have to take this drastic action.
This will be the first time that people hear your voice, you know, since you were arrested. What do you want the world to know?
Well, the world must understand that the young people of South Sudan are frustrated. I was talking about this before I was arrested, about how the situation in the country was getting out of control, and how our leaders have been unable to demonstrate the kind of leadership that is required resolve basic problems. And since I got into the prison, this has become even more clear and more clear. If you listen to some of the cases here, some people are arrested because they impregnated somebody and they are brought here to jail. Some people are arrested because their friend stole something somewhere, and as a result, they are brought because their friend was also here. And they've been keeping for months. So this situation is quite tense, and it's important that the government of South Sudan now demonstrate the kind of leadership that is required to resolve this crisis. These young people here, they don't want to fight anybody, and they don't want to die. Nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to live. But what they desire the most is freedom. They feel that their basic right, which is freedom, has been denied them. And now is the time for the government to show to the world that it is actually a government that has some sheer legitimacy. It has a ray of legitimacy to it. And if that legitimacy exists, it requires the government now to handle this situation in an amicable way. The most frustrating thing is the propaganda that the government has been putting around, that they have released prisoners, they have released detainees. None of this thing has happened. And this creates rumors, because we here in prison have no access to any information. So what we get is a third-grade kind of information that is mixed with all sorts of rumors, conspiracies about what is going on and what some of the security elements are thinking.
And Peter, in your case, have any charges been brought against you, and have you been able to speak with a lawyer?
I have not heard about any charges brought to me, but I have been able to meet with my lawyers twice. The last time I met with them was a week ago. That's when I saw them. But I've never been brought before Kate here, before a judge. I had only one meeting with the prosecutor, the government prosecutor. He came to see me only once. And that was during the time of Vera Ada. And all this time, they have not been coming to see me. They've been saying that they're still doing investigation, and I'm not hearing what is the result of this investigation.
Have you been given a time frame?
Of course.
That's Peter Abier Ajak, a South Sudanese activist who has been held without a charge since July. He was speaking from inside the National Security Headquarters in Juba on Saturday. We'll bring more interviews with inmates inside the National Security in tomorrow's show. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Activists say detainees' rights are not respected in South Sudan. Find out more when we return.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what types of industries produce the most jobs?
Obviously, it's food industry. This do produce more jobs in the sense that you see demand at the market.
I think the business industry right now and the IT industry are producing the most jobs.
Okay, transportation, transport.
Construction, I think construction industry.
Taking what I've observed, education is the industry that has produced jobs, really.
The same thing to the petroleum industries. They also do that. They give job opportunities to all levels, whether educated, non-educated. They will always find a place in those industries.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. A civil society activist says detainees who were involved in a standoff with the national security personnel at the national security headquarters must be given due process or be set free as per the revitalized peace agreement. South Sudan officials say they peacefully resolved the matter yesterday and the prisoners are back behind the bars. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
Police spokesman Daniel Justin told reporters last night that detainees at the National Security Headquarters took control of part of the detention facility Sunday morning after overpowering five guards, then broke into the armament store and seized more than 30 guns.
One of the Internal Security Bureau officers, Captain Carbino Wal Agok, who was on administrative detention pending internal court martial, overpowered the guards at the entrance of the prisons and disarmed them. Captain Carbino used the weapon from the guards to open the prison gate by firing at the locks.
Wall is a proprietor and founder of the Juba-based CAS Security Service, which provides security to a number of private institutions in Juba. He has been detained by national security agents since April. Jacqueline Nasiwa, head of the Juba-based Center for Inclusive Governance, Peace and Justice, criticized the detainees for disarming guards and raiding an armament store. But she says the detainees have the right to be charged in a court of law or be set free.
When you look at Article 12 of the Constitution, read together with Article 19 and 18, it provides that every person has the right to liberty and fair trial, and nobody should be detained above the 24 hours. And if you are detained, arrested, it has to be done within the law, and you are informed of the reason why you are arrested.
Nasiwa says the National Security Service must respect South Sudan's judiciary and end arbitrary arrest and release all political prisoners as directed by President Kiir.
Detaining also these inmates for more than 24 hours, the national security violates our constitution, and it also undermines the authority of the judiciary. So I think the best way moving forward is for the government to move the process forward and ensure that all those who are in the detention are brought before the justice and they are brought before the competent court, which is our national judiciary.
Nasiwa says the South Sudan government must respect international treaties and laws pertaining to human rights as signed by President Kiir. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
A top UN official visiting South Sudan is calling on the country's leaders to ensure they implement a provision in the revitalized peace agreement which grants women 35% of positions in the executive. The United Nations Under-Secretary General and Executive Director of UN Women is calling on South Sudan's leaders to allow women to meaningfully participate in the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement to end violence against women. Winnie Chirino has more for VOA from Juba.
Pumzil Mlambo Nchuka, while on a three-day visit to South Sudan, says she is here to stand in solidarity with women to ensure that 35% of government positions and those in the peacemaking process are granted to women per the agreement.
They've revitalized the agreement now. It has to give us hope and dedication. We know that it's still not going to be easy, but we have to do our best to make it work. because so much has been tried, so much pain, so many challenges, so many lives lost. We have to find a way of turning the situation around. We have to make sure that the quota for women is 35% is actually fulfilled.
Njuka says she remains deeply concerned about the level of violence committed against women in South Sudan.
We think that we have to tighten up even ourselves as the UN in the manner in which we are responding. So we see an even much bigger role for DPKO, including increasing the number of women that are coming to the security forces.
By DPKO, Njuka is referring to the Director for Peacekeeping Operations. Njuka is encouraging South Sudanese to produce their own food in an effort to end widespread food insecurity. Njuka says UN women will continue to train South Sudanese women in entrepreneurship and leadership skills, and she reiterated the role of UN women in supporting the implementation of the peace deal.
Our support, our concern is about the most effective way to implement the agreement. It is about equipping you such that humanitarian is also about development. It is about education. It is about skills for economic activity. And it is about fighting to address systematically and sustainably the issue of violence against women. So I just want you to be assured that we are here for the long haul, but we do want the end to be closer because this has been too long.
Njuka is urging civil society and activists and women's groups to identify competent leaders who can fill the positions granted to women as stipulated in the agreement. Njuka is touring South Sudan with United Nations Under-Secretary General for Peacekeeping Operations, Jean-Pierre Lacroze, and the African Union Commissioner for Peace and Security, Ambassador Smail Djekui. For VOA News, I am Winnie Chirino in Juba.
And that report by Winnie Chirino in Juba brings us to the end of our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Anna Sore by Sultan Clinton.
This is my story, true story.
Montala sibuana,
e kaman sibulana waraka.
Fera serire,
garoko roma ke jatani kulukulu. Omadara ena tayi kulukulu jam.
Hafiti sora na duguita, sore de kolumerisa na umba unisale.
Ana roa la jiranta iye, ana dugu babdomo. Omone aina na geni mulana gali madam taki kutu.
Alfera stai mafu. Ana bika zatu kala bujumu, ana burale mwani.
Dunia bika zatu makwe, asani tamafi. Dunia bika makwe, iyatai mafi.
We've been listening to Sultan Clinton with the song Anna Sore. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Check us out on our Twitter. Our handle is at VOA South Sudan. You can also leave a message on our Facebook. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Ana sorre,